Okay. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. I'm going to take roll call really quick. Starfire.
Present.
Firelight.
Here.
Brilliance.
Hello, everybody.
Lightstarter.
Here.
Tranquility.
Here.
Starburst. Lightstar. Should be coming along shortly. Trisys.
Me.
Blazar.
Here.
Celestial is packing to go on a week's vacation, so please pray for her and her family. Okay, I met with Father this afternoon, and he told me to give you his special love. He said, within this special love, he is aware of the fact that everybody has been suffering through either a monetary, financial problem, a physical problem, or a spiritual problem, and within this greeting of his and his love, he gives you everybody strength to endure this. And I give you peace from my heart. I forgot last month to let all of you know that I was talking with our big brother Jesus months ago, and he and I were chatting about his birthday, because we all know that December 25th is not when he was born. That's when the Catholics decided to make that a holiday to irritate the pagans. So I said to him, well, when is your birthday? And he said, it's actually July 17th, a couple days ago. So Brilliance actually emailed me yesterday, and she goes, so how was his birthday celebration? And I went, oh, crap, he's going to kill me. I completely forgot. So he said, I will not kill you, brother, and you can celebrate it in December. So he, you can wish him a happy birthday if you wish. And he joked and said, why do you think there's those big sales that happen when they say Christmas in July? Yeah. Okay, so I also wanted to point out, I know that in the past, all of you at some time may have sent your healing team to another healer to help them with difficulties or problems that they were having. I'm going to ask you to not do that anymore, and here's why. Your healing team is an extension of you, and if they're not plugged into you, and you're not manifesting yourself with them, there's absolutely nothing they can do for the other person. Okay? So your own healing team can accomplish anything for you. If you want to get a healing from another healer, then you need to physically be with that person, or you need to be plugged into your team and having a phone call with them so that there is a connection in some way so your team can be effective. I am not scolding anyone. I am not chastising anyone, okay? Please don't take it that way. It's just that we are advancing and we are growing as a team, and your team is completely, specifically designed for you. So I need all of you to just work with your teams. Hold on one second. If I could ask everybody to mute your phones because I'm getting feedback on you. And then I'll let you know when we can talk and have an open discussion about questions or things. Okay. Isis is doing better, so he's actually back in the game. So I would like, if you have any questions or concerns and you can't get a hold of me, but you feel prompting to talk with him, please contact him. I would also like to inform everybody that Trisys and Brilliance actually have the rank of general. Because they're part of the trifecta with me, their rank is a little bit higher than the rest of you. And what I find interesting is that Father has geared all of your hearts to already know that and to understand that if there is an issue or a problem and you can't get a hold of me, that you've automatically gone to Brilliance or you've actually thought of contacting Trisys, but you haven't because he was sick. But now everything is where it needs to be, and Father told me he's going to restore Trisys. My birthday, Subplanner's birthday, was July 1st. So he said to me, you can make any wish you want, boy. And I said, I want my brother restored. And he said, okay, I'm working on that. So Trisys has been told some specific things that he needs to do, and he is doing them. And he actually is beginning stronger, which is a great joy, because soon he'll be carrying his own grocery bags upstairs, and Subplanner will rejoice in that. Okay.
I've resisted buying shelving units and stuff, so I'm thinking about you, bro.
Thank you. Now, I gave you all the rank of colonel last month, and and I kind of just threw it out there in an email. So I just want to run through that a little bit with everybody, and then if anybody has any questions, please chime in and ask. But the basics of this is the rank that you have is colonel, and your lead angel is your lieutenant. And you now have the power and authority to command them to do anything that you need them to do, not just for yourself, but for anybody around you, for your family, for anybody that's in charge. If you're at church or if you're in a regular environment where you're going to a store or you're going out to a movie or something, you can say to your lead angel, I need you to clean. I need you to bind and sweep. I need you to do this. Or you can give them standing orders as well. I have a loved one that's going through this situation. I need you to make sure that this always happens. And they will take care of that for you. I give you full power and authority to command them in any way that you want. You don't need to ask my permission. You don't need to ask Father's permission. We trust all of you that much that we know you're going to make the right choices, because down the road, things are going to get a little bit, I'm not going to say horrible, but you're going to get into a situation where you're not going to have to question anything. You're going to know exactly what to do, how to handle it, and you will give that command to your lieutenant. He will carry it out for you. You're also going to get that counseling angel that I talked to you about. If you meditate like I've asked you to, he will come and introduce himself to you, or she will come and introduce herself to you. Everybody has been given a scroll now at this point. It is in your heart somewhere. You need to go find it. You need to read it. I know it's going to look strange to you. It looks almost like hieroglyphs. You read it just like you would a regular book. And within that information is the actual information that you're going to need to know what your role is in this plan that Father has for you. And though your brain may not comprehend what it is you're reading, your heart will. And that's where your faith comes in. And I know you all have a very strong faith. You're also going to come to find that your lead angel is going to become more vocal with you. You're actually going to hear a different voice than your own when he communicates with you. And the reason why that has to happen is because at this point forward, because you two now have a new relationship, it's not any different that much than it was before, because you used to give him commands anyway. But now you have this rank and he respects you, and he's also going to inform you of different things that are coming, or he's going to inform you of things that you need to be aware of, and his voice is going to become more prevalent to you. So I would encourage everyone to get to know your lead angel, to build a relationship with your lead angel, to understand that he is there to serve you and protect you. At no time, like I said in the email, is he ever going to stand down and jeopardize your safety for the sake of somebody else. There are trillions of legions of angels that Father's created. So if there's anything that has to be taken care of or carried out, he will take care of assigning anyone that needs to carry out that task. You do not need to worry about that. All you need to do is give him the order, and he'll fulfill it for you. Does anybody have any questions at this point about being a colonel and giving commands? You can't make them get you a cup of coffee. They're just not going to do it. I've tried it. If you have questions, let me know.
I have a question.
Okay.
So when we give an order, because I did it a couple times, and I have a standing order now for my building that I work in, and we bind and sweep. And I had an experience where I saw some stuff running around, and I had asked you, you know, what was it? I thought, and I actually, typical commander human fashion, I thought I told you to lock down the building. you know, and you had made the comment that there is some stuff that'll get through. So I killed it. But standing order means that we don't have to every morning go, you know, whatever,
no.
Right, guys, or...
Right. The standing order is you give it once, and they'll take care of it for the rest of your existence. But I will tell you that spirits, Father's going to allow spirits to come and go as they please, because man has to be tested. And that has been a bone of contention with me and him for 10 years now. And he said that mankind needs to be tested and tempted, and that happens with spirits. If you want to give a standing order to lock down something and no demons are allowed in, that is justifiable, and that will stand.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
You know, when Tom got so bad, right, and then you said that I could bind the demon, or that the team could bind the demon for a while, right? And then after that time period, then it was the demon was so enraged, and Tom suffered even worse than he had before. So my question is, how do I know when the time is right? Like, now I'm almost afraid to bind that demon because it was worse than it ever had been before.
With that guy that's in Tom, I will tell you that I went and saw him 3 times during that ordeal that you kept texting me.
Yeah.
And I gave him orders too, and I almost killed him. And Father said to me, you cannot kill him. And I pleaded with Father and said, how much longer does Tom have to suffer because of the ignorance of other men up there? And he said, Tom can handle this. And I said, yes, I understand that. I said, but the hardest thing for anyone is to watch a loved one suffer.
Right.
When we have full power and authority to do something. I said, and now we can all relate to how you felt when Jesus was suffering on the cross. He said, but Tom, he's not suffering for the sake of mankind, and he doesn't have to die for their sins. And Father quietly said, doesn't have to die for their sins, but I am using him as an example.
Okay.
I would say to you, let's never bind this demon again.
Okay.
Because it doesn't work.
Right.
And I
felt so badly after that. I felt like it was my fault because I had given the order to bind, right? And it was during the week for the service for the departed. And I knew that was such an important service for Tom and for those in the realms. But then, like I said, afterwards, oh, it was just horrible. So I'm glad to hear you say that. So I just, as far as that demon goes, I just kind of back off. But anything else is fair game.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Hey, guys, it's Lori.
Yes.
You know, I've stood by for several years watching how this has evolved with Tom, and I know what the purpose is here. I know that Tom can handle it, and I know, and I trust, and I have faith in that it's going to change. I'm also a person who knows how to work the media, and at some point, I know there's a privacy issue here, but at some point, would it not make sense to go at this from a standpoint of more publicly, and then the church will respond more quickly, more so because they have egg on their face than anything else?
I don't think so, because they're looking at it more, I think, in general, like not just the church, that it's a mental illness.
Correct.
So there's so much... There is so much out there on mental illness. I mean, there are people who are releasing this. My whole book was about how do you create awareness of your particular human story, your involvement with anything that you're passionate about, by hooking it onto other very national stories. So, you know, I hate to say this, but the next time there's something about, you know, somebody who goes and does something really wrong, I hate to say it, and pretty horrific, who is then, you know, both fingers are pointed and stigma associated with mental illness. I think that we could serve as a source at some point so there could be a sidebar story. I'm just having this feeling, and it's not mine to have, but I'm wondering if in some way we could get more awareness of Tom's suffering, if there could be more mass energy around it, people being horrified that this has gone on this long, and it probably would be a terrible invasion of his privacy, but that said, it might spark a response because the church doesn't want it in the news.
Well, the problem is that our church, well, not all of our church, the high leaders of our church do not want to accept the fact that demons exist in our members. And Father said that in time, he's supposed to allow Susan actually recorded Tom when the bishop came and the district elder?
Yep.
Susan came. She actually recorded Tom going through one of his moments with this demon.
Mm-hmm.
Father, once the new chief apostle is in place, which he is now, when he tells me, I will let her know that she needs to bring that recording to our district apostle who's up there and tell him that he needs to play this recording for the new chief apostle and then ask him how we should handle this. And Father said that things will change from that point forward. And I get the impression that it's going to happen within the next few months.
That recording, Susan, do you have it on an MP3? How is that recording made?
It's on Andrew's phone. So I don't know how. I'm not very literate that way.
Well,
he recorded it on his phone,
right.
and then he sent me.
When I'm up, I can grab it off the phone. I got a conversion program.
Well, he sent it to me as an email, as a file.
He sent it through Dropbox.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm a no holds barred, get it done kind of gal. I mean, my thought is, I know I channel that from somewhere, and I my ego is not involved in it at all. But I like movement, and I'm very disarmed by the length of time that Tom and Susan's family have been suffering, as we all are. And because I'm a no holds barred, let's get it done, let's move on with this. Play the game, move the dice. Part of me is just send it to somebody who it will horrify and get the attention and make them move. I mean, God is very patient and allows for all that free will in so much as maybe part of the courage of this human experience is about, I don't know, stepping forward and creating awareness around this. I mean, certainly Tom is not the only person this has ever happened to, and God knows how many other people have suffered in the same way and have been put into institutions and treated, you know, in very disturbing ways. I just keep thinking if I can be of any help, if my expertise or anyone that I know in the media, or if I can help you create even a private, web location where you can put up videos and send whoever you need to send in the church, real honest and forthright, this is what's happening in my home. How could this be happening? We need your help. We're calling on you, sort of thing. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like... I feel like it's just a big tragedy, and I know it takes time. So
Father asked that we all kind of just stand down, and in time, all of this will be needed. But right now, he said, let's just let this take its course.
Okay.
And he would like us all to just keep praying for Tom. He's going to keep giving Tom the strength to endure. And I know it bothers all of us, and you have no idea how much he and I have gone back and forth. But it is not my place to question him anymore on why he's doing this. And I know it frustrates everybody, and we all just want Tom to get his life back and Susan and him to be together again and to have peace. But Father has a plan, and up until this point, I didn't really quite see what it was. But as of now, almost every administration brother or leader in our church now has been exposed to this, and two of them actually believe in their hearts that it is a demon infestation, which is the first time this has ever happened. In how many years, Susan? Ever?
Oh, I think it's since 2002.
Okay, so over 10 years, and now finally someone in our church is actually going, yes, this is a demon. And this minister actually has had experiences with demons in the past because he was another faith before he came into our church. So I appreciate your efforts, Lori, and in volunteering to help them out at this point. But if we were to do something like this, it would actually backfire.
I don't want that.
Yeah because Jim's right, the two ministers... They do believe, and they said we just have to watch the way that we approach it, because we're going into uncharted waters, right? For as far as our religion goes, right? It's uncharted waters. It's something that's never been discussed before. So I feel that if I would now go and do that, I would be going behind their backs. I think it would backfire.
Susan, is it possible for when I come up there with John for me to meet with one of them? Do you think the district elder or the bishop would be willing just to meet with us for a few minutes so I could talk to him?
I'll ask Andrew. He would, because he's really very close with the district elder, right?
Okay.
The bishop travels a lot. I'm not sure if he's in, but Andrew would be able. I'll ask Andrew to find out what his schedule's like.
If we just had like maybe a half hour to go meet for coffee somewhere, because I would just like to talk to them openly, and then we can move forward with this.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Okay, great.
Thank you for your concern.
Well, you know, that's what you pay me for, honey. No, we love you guys. I love everybody on this team, and it hurts me when I hear that loved ones are suffering through this whole process, because Father's plan is tight and it is secure, and there's a reason why he's allowing all this to happen. And though we might not completely understand it right now as we're sitting at this part, it is going to make complete sense to us. Okay, so all we got to do is hold on, trust Father, it will work out.
And we'll be using Lori's talents shortly. So we appreciate that. Don't get us wrong, but you're feeling the frustration.
I'm not getting anyone wrong. I just want you to know that, you know, if you need me for anything like that, you should never hesitate to ask.
You can help me write my chapter.
And me too, Lori.
Oh, my God, the chapter. I totally forgot about the chapter. Holy cow. When is that due?
Next May. We got till May. I'm keeping that because it's going to take me that long, so it's not until May. So don't, Temple Anthony, don't try and give us the earlier deadline. It's May.
Yeah,
hey, Jim, can you send the outline on what that's supposed to be again?
It's supposed to be your experience in becoming a healer. You know, you could say crazy things like some huge guy approached me and said, God picked you to be a healer. There's no money, and your life is going to get turned upside down, and it goes from there.
And you have to drink blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah. There you go. And I'll pass the crack pipe around, and we'll all sing Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Now, this is being recorded. Okay, moving along. Does anybody else have any other questions about being a commander?
Am I supposed to edit that blue Kool-Aid out?
I prefer cherry myself.
I think it just brings a more, we're also down to earth here. It's a good laugh. Okay, the other thing I wanted to bring, you've already, you know, stole my thunder about how is your chapter coming along for the book? Well,
Lori, how's my chapter coming along, Lori? Lori?
Well done with the clairvoyance that you are. The other thing I just want to point out to somebody, I don't know if anybody is interested in actually starting to hold classes or offer any kind of energy healings to anybody, and I had some idea. I drove past the yoga location, and I'm thinking that I might actually take a class to see if I can get my head up my pooper, just to see if I can become more flexible and offer meditation classes for this place. But Lindsay is having excellent success with homeopathy, with the homeopathy store that she's working with, offering energy healings there. So if you're interested in doing something like that, you may want to approach a homeopathy store in your area or a yoga place and see if they're open to energy healings, or if you want to get into the whole thing about holding meditation classes. Fred has posted on my website almost all the classes. I have to hold the sixth one next month. I have two more trips. I sent an email out. Susan, I didn't include you because I don't want to freak you out. I canceled the other seven trips that I had scheduled for the rest of the year, but I'm keeping two, and you're the one. And then I have to hold another one in Grand Rapids in August. So I have two more trips in August, and when I get done holding that class in August, that'll be the sixth class. And all of the recordings will be on my Meditation Concept website, and I can give you guys all access to that if you want to take notes and start getting some idea of how you want to hold your own classes. So that's what I have here. And then I think Lightstar, are you here? Light, Agar. No, huh? Okay, well then, Trisus.
I'm here.
Oh, are you? Okay, awesome. All right.
Okay.
Lightstar and Trisus. Lightstar had an experience last weekend, and I'm going to let her take it from here and share it with you. But she reached out to Trisus, and together they were able to figure out the situation, so I'm going to hand it off to them, and then I will make comments at the end of their experience. So, Lightstar, go.
So, last Saturday I had a healing that when I was told that it was scheduled, I just had this feeling that I didn't want to do it. And then the night before I didn't want to do it, I found out that it was a man. And I thought, well, am I just being uncomfortable or, you know, is there something wrong? So then the day of the healing, I came in early and the whole thing was just off. I didn't feel right about it. I really was hoping that he had canceled. And then all of a sudden, you know, he came early and he pulled in the driveway and there were more demons with him than I think I've ever seen at one given time. They were everywhere and they just went on to full attack. It was like I couldn't hardly keep them off of me. And at one point Michael showed up, everything got kind of stopped, and I went back to do the healing. And this guy, I was shaking from head to toe, and I still at this point don't know exactly why I was shaking, but when I got into and started working on this aura, my hands were shaking so bad, and my heart was pounding out of my chest, and things weren't right. And because of everything that I saw come with him, I thought, okay, there's got to be some major stuff going on in here. So I go in and I start working on him, and I'm looking under every and in every single space there is, and I can't find a single spirit or a single demon. And I start going through some of his stuff, and I get to his base chakra, and it's him sitting in a desert completely alone and naked, and just everything in him, like some of the things that came out was, it's easier for him to not like people, to hate them, than it is for him to be kind. At one point, I found this like blob in his hand, and on it said suicide. So I said to him, I don't know if you have contemplated or attempted suicide, but I'm seeing this in your hand. And he said, no, I'm not suicidal. And I said, okay, well, I would like to remove this. We'd like to get rid of this. And he sat there for a few minutes and just hem-hawed. No. And I said, you don't want me to get rid of it? No. And so I was really uncomfortable. And so I said, okay, well, can we put it into a box and, you know, put a lock on it? And he even hem-hawed about that. So finally he agrees to it, and we put it in a box, and Penny gestures for me to put it behind me. So when I turned around, there's these shelves that have mason jars and boxes and even vases, and they're all labeled different things, and they're all different types of murder and different types of torture. And then I was given this, that these are things that he fantasizes about with other people, not things that he thinks about doing to himself. And I was so uncomfortable, and I didn't say anything to him because I was afraid of, if I said what I saw, what his reaction would be. And so I told Penny, I want to get rid of all of this. And she said, we can't. It brings him comfort, which just made me even more disgusted. So we keep moving on, and we get to his crown, and I see energy flowing around the area. When I see somebody's crown chakra, I kind of see the connection between them and Father, and it looked like somebody had poured bricks and concrete in there, and it was just very not organized in how it was put together. And I said, you know, I'm seeing a blockage here, and, you know, and because this is something that we ask, you know, would you like this opened up? And the way he said it was just eerie to me. He just sat there and he's, yeah, open that up, and kind of chuckled about it. And it was unnerving that he would say it like that. And so we opened it. We're trying to pull his energy back, and I'm finding it very difficult to find anything to fill him back up with because everything he projects is negative. It's like he just really is not a happy person. And at the end of the healing, I step around. He had one tear in his eye, and he asked me some questions and kind of wanted to know other things that where I work, you know, what they offer. And he was interested in the meditation. So once we get done, I open up the door, and I go to let him out. And he turns around, and he looks at me, and he goes, "I'm a pretty morbid person," and then just continued walking out. And I was so confused. I was confused because I couldn't find anything in his space, and I felt like I was standing in and outside of pure evil. This man had no love in him at all. Everything was tore up. All of the chakras were dark and gloomy and just like bone chilling to be in them. And so I was confused. I don't want to say I freaked out, but I was definitely not in a good place. And I'm trying to figure out what just happened, what I just went through, what I dealt with. So when I got home, I'm sitting there like, okay, I need to call somebody. I just know I do. And that's when Trice's name came up. So I'll let you take over.
Okay. Yeah, we were at the...
Hey, John, before you start, can I ask a question? It's Lightstarter. Did this person make the appointment with you, or did somebody make an appointment for him with you?
He made the appointment himself, and actually when he came in, it took him about 10 minutes to sign my form. I mean, he sat there. I finally told him, you don't have to do this. You can go out, get your money back, and leave. That's not a big deal. So he didn't want this done, but at the same time, he did it. And he set the appointment up himself, and he brought himself. So that's what else was confusing me a lot.
And while you were talking, I wrote that down too. What is his reason for coming?
Right. So something drove him there, either literally or figuratively. And I'm just curious what he thought it was going to be and whether, you know, his motivation was pure or impure. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Was he trying to freak you out? Did he want to see if he could freak you out, whether or not you were gifted enough to be freaked out? Or was he there for some healing?
That's where I was confused. That's why I was having such a hard time, because the fact that he made this appointment, he came in, and then he sat there and asked me a few questions, but he kept shaking his leg, and he was tapping the pen on the table, and then he'd ask me another question, you know, things like, am I going to get a migraine from this? What is it again? What are you going to do? And, you know, and then once I finally told him, you know, you can go get your money back, then he real quick just scribbled his name down and didn't even put the pen back in the holder, just dropped it on the table and got up and got in the chair. And so I was kind of like, you know, okay, so this whole time you don't know what you wanted, now you want it. You know, I was confused.
Yeah, and those are all the questions we discussed. And it's great that you brought that up, because those were all the questions I had. And immediately she asked me to check her space. So that's really the first time I've ever gone live with someone on the phone into their space psychically, which was a fantastic experience. And she was clean, as the lady from the Poltergeist movie would say, this place is clean. It was an interesting experience, because as soon as she texted me, my chest got tight. But it wasn't like there was evil, and it was funny, because even I told Jim, I said, I got to talk to Lindsay, he goes, Trice, this is back, and I'm like, oh, man. So we cleared her space, and then we talked. Everything that you were probably asking is what was going through my heart, and we had like a little chat session back and forth. The only impression that I came up with, and then Jim can later go on and correct our first impressions, because he then chatted with Lindsay the next day, but he had mentioned about entities, how entities can phase in and out of reality. And at first, what Lindsay was probably feeling was all the demons. They were caught off guard. They had no idea that she was there. I think that was very cool, one, on one set, not that she had the demons coming attack her, but my impression was that this young man is needing help. he wants help. And he, like you said, Lori, was driven there. At some point during his brief moments of consciousness, was probably thinking it was help. And then the parts that were intriguing to me was that, you know, you had said that he felt comfortable about it. And Penny said that he feels comfort with that, which is strange. But when people are under captivity, and like those girls and the people that you've heard that are in a situation where they're kept for years, they do develop an affinity for their captors. And maybe that is the comfort that Penny was talking about, that that's the only thing he knows. He has no family, no friends. And these demons and these entities are what's making him, well, for lack of a better word, feel like he's alive. What's interesting is that I pictured the demons not even, they scattered like, you know, squirrels when you come out the front door. You know, they went and then jumped back with him once he was a block away. But everything that Lindsay had said, I felt the same thing, but there was no direct evil in him. But it was a cry for help. So then that's pretty much our discussion. We talked for a few moments more about that. But then Supplanter had said that it was maybe something else. So do you want me to tell him what you told us, or Jim, do you want to take that over?
Go ahead.
What did you say? I'm at a phone beeped. I didn't.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what Jim had said, was, and I'm going to use the term and I don't know, I made it up, a remote type of controlling where there are tendrils. We've heard about cords, and if you remember the one demon that Jim found going into hell by following the cords attached to the people. And that's something we really not discussed, but during healings, are we removing the cords? Are we removing the connections of the people and the spirits and all the bad things during the healing? And Supplanter had said that this demon, this entity, had a connection to the kid, and he was controlling him that way. And then I jumped back to Lindsay. Now, I only heard this conversation as Jim was driving home, but didn't you two then talk about that you found the entity, Lindsay?
I actually kind of, Brad and I had an experience of faith, but in the midst of it, I kind of saw everything going, like, my experience rewound and it replayed, and I was kind of standing off to the side, and I could see where this thing slipped off to. And so I know what I'm looking for. I know, you know, I have an idea of a vicinity to start looking. Like I saw kind of, because when I see clairvoyantly, I know that there's walls around me, but I don't see the walls, and I see a different dimension. I don't see the tree that's actually outside of the facility that I work at. I see a forest because it's a different dimension of where we are. And so I saw it flip off, and so I knew what, you know, kind of where to go. And my husband, of course, says, are you going to go hunt it? Well, no, I don't want to. And that's being perfectly honest. It's not something that I really want to go after right at this moment. Well, then when I talked to Supplanter, he told me there are two of them and that I need to stand down right now and not to do anything, and that this guy is going to come back to me. And actually, I thought he was younger than what he is, and I checked his paper. He's actually 35. And the fact that he came here in the first place, because a younger person you would think would be persuaded a little bit easier if somebody is encouraging them, but for the age that he is, that's usually somebody who's kind of pretty set in their ways. So I found that a little bit interesting. But so for right now, I'm gonna wait. And what Trisus recommended was that somebody from where I work call and do a follow-up call with him and see if he wants to reschedule or, you know, something, but to give him time, because, you know, the impression that he had was that this man's basically going to be tortured, per se, by everything because of the fact that he came here in the first place.
Right. Well, and also coming from a third party, it'll allow him an opportunity to be honest, and you'll know that, you know, there's two options here, professionally and spiritually. We want to be able to help the people, but we want them coming because we want them to help themselves. it does us no good to clear their space and have them have clean life, and then and the next evil thing that comes by, they latch on and allow into their space, which I can't tell you how many times I've experienced clearing someone's space. So it was an interesting thing, but I'm glad that you found it. So
the point I want to make is that when you're giving an energy healing, do not just focus on the inside of the person, because you're not going to find an entity inside the person. And as Trice has pointed out, they attach a tendril to the person's back, and that's how they control them. And they can phase in and out of our reality in space and time. And the only way that you're going to find them usually is by following that cord. So if you're having a situation similar to what Lightstar went through with, you're inside the person, you really can't find anything, but you know it's ominous and it doesn't feel right, then you need to back yourself out of the person's space and look at their back and look at them clairvoyantly outside of their body and see if you don't see a cord attached to the person. And if you do, then you need to send your team to go subdue that thing. And then when you get done with the healing, you have your team lead you to where it is, and then you destroy it. You don't need to bring this information to the person's attention. It'll just unnerve them, and you can take it from there. But I wanted to make sure that we are still and always ever ready about some of the things that Satan's created. I think sometimes we get a little comfortable with the powers that Father has given us, that we kind of think that we know everything. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't know everything, and I've been doing this longer than any of you guys have. And I'm very proud with all of how quickly all of you in the last 2 or 3 years have stepped up, and you continually learn. And I am thankful that Father's allowed us to have these monthly meetings so that we can share this information with each other. Does anybody have any questions?
It's Lightstar, I do. Is the main difference then between an entity and a demon the fact that the entity does not live in the body?
It's that they're actually a two-part creature. A demon is body and a celestial, a spirit is just a spirit. It doesn't really have a form. It doesn't have a body, per se. A demon or an angel is a two-part being. They are a body, and they are a spirit as well. The entity is an even hybrid of a demon in the fact that they can phase in and out of our time, where a demon mostly will retain itself within our own existence, and that's why you and I can see them all the time. But the entity can phase in and out, and that's why you and I can't see them, but we can just kind of feel them. That's the difference. They also have a lot more power. They have a lot more strength. They have a bigger ability to influence the person in a greater way than even a demon can. They are more dangerous, I guess is what I'm going to say. But your team can see them and can feel them, and you are not going to ever be under any danger, per se, if there is one there, because your team has a standing order from me that nothing is allowed to touch you. I just want everyone to be aware that they exist and how you find them. So now you're all going to become entity slayers and hunters. You put that on your resume. Doesn't that sound impressive? We're all just a bunch of whack jobs, and I love it. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you for calling in. I'd like to just pray with everybody, if I may. Okay. Kind, loving Father, it is with great joy that we approach you, and as we step into your presence, we all bow. We all go down on one knee. We bow our hearts to you, Father, in our heads, because in holy reverence and praise, you are the one who has arranged all this for us. You are the one who has given us all these gifts. Under no circumstance could we ever, Father, do what we do without you, without your power and authority, without your counsel, without your teaching, and certainly without your love, we would be lost. We appreciate, Father, the gifts that you gave us at the beginning of the conference call, that within your greeting of love, we're able to receive the strength we need for even our financial situation, our spiritual situation, and even our health. Because, Father, while we are here, we have to struggle through all those things. And there is never a moment where you are not paying attention and you do not see what we've struggled through. And even in Tom's situation, we bring his situation before you, as we do often when you and I talk, that, Father, you would give all of us the courage to stand and watch, to not judge you, because we don't completely understand why someone would have to be put through all of this, but you do. And what's amazing to me is that Tom has been able to endure now for almost 13 years, and that is just insane when we think about it. And he doesn't complain. And though he has sometimes told you that he thinks he's being punished, we know in our hearts that that is not the case. And you are the one, Father, who will bring this whole situation to light when the time is right. And you will raise him up from the depths of where he is. And you will show this world what it is to have a faith beyond any of us, that he has always stayed faithful to you in spite of the situation. He is even a grander Job, I would say, than Job is. And I don't take anything away from him. But see the concern of the family, Father, because they are the ones who are engrossed in this situation 24/7. We on the team are not, but our hearts, we feel when tranquility is suffering and the family has to watch this, our hearts are in anguish with her. We pray, Father, you provide extra strength. See to the concerns of the team, whether it be for financial situation, Father, for job, employment, for struggles physically. All of us have our situations that you have given us, as Paul put it, a thorn in our side. And we all, Father, struggle, but we are all very joyful in our hearts. To be this close to you, to hear you, to feel you, to know that your hand is always around us, to have that attention that not everyone in this world has. And it is simple, Father, that all we have to do is close our eyes, or we just need to have a conversation with you, and you stop everything, and you draw us close to you. So now, Father, see the hearts of our teammates. We love them so much, and we are so proud of them with what they do. Strengthen them now, grant them the courage that they need, and help us all to stand strong. We look forward, Father, to the day when all of us can stand together and we can help complete this task. If we've forgotten anything in our prayer, Father, we pray for your grace. We pray also for Fred, who is a part of this team. Father, maybe he is not the gifted one who has to do the dirty work like we do, but I would not be able to have all the things that we have in place if it wasn't for him. And you know his situation with his life and his family, and you know his financial struggles as well. So before you, Father, I bring his concerns as well. And I know that you will bless him and help him and his family as well as they move forward. Provide your peace for us. We thank you for everything. Again, if I have forgotten something, please cover it. And as always, Father, according to your will, we bow. We love you. Please know that. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Okay, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Bye.